Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Murder 123. This is Dr. John Stamey. We have a light on. We're keeping the light on for you here in Myrtle Beach as we are alive and kicking and hopefully not being hit by the coronavirus here just yet, at least in my place. I would like to introduce our new co-host, one who last night did probably the best interview I've ever had for Pop Culture Stars, and it was with Diane Pope of the Tams, the one and only from Emerald Isle, North Carolina, Papa Stroh, the maestro of wrestling. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, great to be here.
Yes, thank you for being here. And guys, everybody, I have to admit, I couldn't find my phone. And if I can't find my phone, I don't have anybody's phone numbers. And I can't get tech. It's terrible. I mean, you'd think that I could do better as a technology guy. But anyway, we're all here. So we're glad to have you, Papa Stroh. And from Hollywood, California, the one and only Devin Tate. Are you keeping the light on for us out there, buddy?
I sure am. You know it.
That's good. We're going to need some light by the time this show's over. This one's a dark one. And from Harlan, Kentucky, the murder capital of the universe. Is that right, Tony? Tony Pelosi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm absolutely pumped up about hearing more about Ed Gein, the Butcher of Plainfield. Not only on Murder 1, 2, 3.
This guy, and I want to say this, and it's very important that we get this statement out. It seems like almost every one of these of our subjects we discuss, or at least in the last 6 weeks, have had horrible, horrible childhoods. Be good to your kids, and if you don't have kids and you see somebody being bad to their kid, call them out. Because every one of these, and Ed is just the same, you'll hear the statement, and it's just not good. So as usual, I've got a story, and as any of our panelists want to chime in with a comment or whatever, please do tonight. Someone that was introduced to me by John Burkowski when we were up at Horror Hound earlier or middle of last year, up there with some really nice folks and She Squatchers and Travis Walton and Bob Gimlin of Bigfoot fame. Some table buddies with John Burkowski. And I said, who's the grizzliest? He said, without a doubt, Ed Gein. He said, it's frightening. So I've toned the research down a little bit so it won't be quite as horrible as it is, but just know that Ed Gein was had a lot of problems. And again, kid problems too that got it started. So Ed Gein, he was from 1906 to 1984. What an interesting year to have passed away. He was known as the Butcher of Plainfield or the Plainfield Ghoul, or I'd just say just a very, very unfortunate person. He was an American convicted serial killer and body snatcher. Anybody remember the invasion of the body snatchers? Do we remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Papa Stroh, you and Devin are the movie guys. Okay, first one to answer gets a star. How many Invasion of the Body Snatcher movies have there been?
Three.
At least four or five.
At least four or five.
I guess seven, maybe.
I would say, from what I know, there were three major theatrical releases, and there was one indie film, which was really, really cool and definitely not something that you would release. It was pretty grisly. So to my knowledge, I think there were four. And it was great. They're all great. They really are.
Yeah, there was the original, and then there was the one in the 70s with Donald Sutherland.
Oh, yeah. I love that one.
That's the one with Leonard Nimoy was in that too, also.
Yeah,
and Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, I was gonna. You're right, Leonard Nimoy. Just, you know, God, we love Leonard. You know, why isn't there just another one? Leonard Nimoy was too cool for words. He really mm-hmm. was. And then this indie one that I know. And Papa Stroh, did you happen to know of one more?
Yeah, there was one. It was about like it's called The Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And that had the the Bond, the current guy that's playing James Bond, Daniel Craig, he was in it.
Oh, okay. So that means there were five, because you have four, and I have the one indie film that only played in select theaters, and we saw it. It was kind of gross, but it was a very good
film. And there was one that was had the actress in it from Chucky. What's her name? Jennifer Tilly. Yeah, she was in one.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Well, what can you say? But anyway, so that kind of gets started off with Ed Gein, and his crimes are all committed around poor little Plainfield, Wisconsin. Devin, I think that's about as big as Paradise, Kentucky. You know, and you brought us that couple that did a couple nasty murders. But so anyway, there you go. And he not only killed people, but he also exhumed bodies as they were freshly buried. And just, oh my goodness. And once they found that he identified two of the graves and found out, yes, they had been defiled and the bodies had been taken away from the coffins, they didn't get the check anymore. They believed it. And I think I would have too. So he was born in La Crosse County, Wisconsin. And he was the second of two boys, and his dad was George, and his mother was Augusta. And he also had an older brother, and his name was Henry. And Henry doesn't really play much into it. Augusta hated her husband. He was an alcoholic. He just couldn't keep a job, and he worked whenever he could as a carpenter, a tanner, and an insurance salesman. Makes me feel kind of sad. He owned a local grocery shop for a few years, and he sold the business. And then they left the city to live pretty much in isolation on a 153-acre farm in Plainfield, Washara County, Wisconsin, which became, you know, their permanent residence. It's kind of scary out there. It's hard to isolate kids. And she took advantage of the isolation by turning away outsiders that could have been a good influence on her sons. Ed was left, and he only got to leave the farm to attend school. And outside of school, he spent most of his time doing chores on the farm. His mother was very, very religious, and that played a part in being, you know, in her treatment of Ed. She preached to the boys about the innate immorality of the world, the evils of drinking, and her belief that all women, except for herself, were naturally promiscuous and instruments of the devil. She reserved every afternoon to read from the Bible, usually selecting things from the Old Testament that concerned death, murder, and divine retribution. So poor old Ed and his brother, they didn't have a lot of chance. So Ed was shy, and his classmates and his teachers, they remember him as having strange mannerisms, so he would have like random laughter, as if he were laughing at his own personal jokes. To make matters worse, his mother punished him whenever he tried to make friends. That's horrible. She was terrible. But despite his poor social development, he did pretty well in school, and he was particularly good at reading, which was, again, is something a very shy person might tend to do. His father, George, died of a heart attack or heart failure, and it was caused by alcoholism and just overall bad behavior. He was 66 years old. Henry and Ed began doing odd jobs to help cover some of the expenses around the house. The brothers were generally considered pretty reliable and honest by people that they worked with and folks in the community. They both worked as handymen, and Ed was frequently a babysitter for the neighbors. Now, that's a scary thing. That's like having Pee Wee Gaskins as a babysitter. And he liked babysitting. He liked babysitting because he related better to kids than adults. Now, Henry began dating a divorced single mother of two. He planned on moving in with her. Henry worried about his brother's attachment to their mother and really spoke ill of her around Ed, who responded with shock and hurt. Now, I don't know, guys, but that kind of sounds that's starting to sound like a miniature Norman Bates getting started here. So they were in March of 1944. Henry and Ed were burning away marsh vegetation on the property, and the fire got out of control, drawing attention to the local fire department. By the end of the day, the fire had been extinguished, and the firefighters left. And Ed reported his brother was missing. With lanterns and flashlights, they searched the whole area for Henry. His dead body was found lying face down. Apparently, he had been dead for some time. He had died earlier in the day, and it appeared the cause of death was heart failure, since he hadn't been burned or apparently injured anywhere else. Only later it was discovered that he had bruises on his head, and you couldn't see them because of his hair. But the police never did anything about it, and they just determined that he had died from asphyxiation because of the fire. Nothing was reported. But now, some people thought that Ed might have killed his brother. And I don't know, but it just all went away. And there we have it. That brother is going to go live with a married, with a lady with kids, and go live with her, not get married to her. He speaks ill of the mother, Augusta, whom Ed just adores. And it's hard to imagine what happened to Henry, isn't it?
Where they found Henry's body, later was determined to have bruises.
On his head.
About the head.
Yeah, but they'd already passed judgment on it, and nobody said a word. So, I mean, you're there in the country. They don't want any kind of nonsense like that going on. And now Ed was devastated by his mother's death when she died in 1945. In the words of the author, he was told by Ed that he had lost his only friend and only true love. And he was absolutely alone in the world. So Ed held on to the farm and earned money at odd jobs. He boarded up the rooms used by his mother, including the upstairs, part of the downstairs, and the living room, leaving them untouched and pristine. But the rest of the house, it just became increasingly nasty. He didn't clean these rooms, and it was just awful. He lived in just a small room next to the kitchen. And around this time, he became interested in reading pulp magazines and adventure stories, particularly those involving cannibals or Nazi atrocities. Wow. And if you think now how bad that really is, because, you know, this was started in 1945, and you're kind of in World War II, and he's reading all about Nazi atrocities, which there were many. And we know that. And somebody should have known and watched. So he was a handyman, and he got some farm subsidies from the government starting in 1951. This kind of helped him, you know, keep the farm. Now, between 46 and 56, he sold an 80-acre tract, so he was down to about 75 acres. And that was his brother Henry had actually owned that. So he was down to about 75 acres. This was like a lot of, a lot of land still. So here he is. It's in 1957, and he's 51 years old. And in the Plainfield Hardware Store, the owner, Bernice Warden, disappeared. Some resident of town reported the hardware store's truck had been driven out from the rear of the building around 9:30 that morning, and the hardware store was closed the whole day. Some area residents believed this was because of deer hunting. Her son, Deputy Sheriff Frank Warden, went into the store about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he found the store's cash register was open and bloodstains on the floor. How horrible. He told investigators that Ed had been in the store the evening before his mother's disappearance, and that he would come back the next morning for a gallon of antifreeze. So a sales slip for the gallon of antifreeze was the last receipt that his mother had written that morning when she disappeared. On that evening, the same day, Guyon was arrested at a grocery store, and the county sheriff's department searched his farm. They discovered her missing, decapitated body. Well, it wasn't missing once they discovered it. And in a shed of Guyne's, hung upside down by her legs with a crossbar on her ankles and ropes at her wrists. The torso was dressed out like a deer. Don't want to think how bad that could be. And she'd been shot with a .22, and the mutilation was made after the death. So on searching the house, here it comes. Obviously, Ed had been busy since 1945, so in 12 years, he had a list of the most horrible things: whole human bones and fragments, a wastebasket made of human skin covering, several chair seats, skulls in his bedroom, female skulls, some with tops sawn off, bowls made from human skulls, four noses, a nipple, doorbell. I think we've read enough, don't you? This is horrible. The artifacts were taken to the state crime lab, and then they were destroyed. Also, when Ed was interrogated, he said that between 47 and 52, he made as many as 40 night visits to three local graveyards to exhume recently buried bodies. And he said he was like in a daze. Some of them he came out of the daze, but many he was in a daze. He left the grave in good order and returned empty-handed when he did. But then when he was in his daze, he dug up the graves and of recently buried middle-aged women he thought that resembled his mother, took the bodies home where he tanned their skins to make his paraphernalia. So that's about the size of Ed Guyne. I know later on, he did confess, and I'll tell you what John Burkowski did. John, in his books, he would take the confessions, the actual transcripts, and put those in his books. And he gave me a book. I took the H.H. Holmes book, but it was when I started reading through the Ed Guyne book, because he was going to gift me a book, I couldn't even take it. A lot of people watched and I don't know where it showed, but a lot of people watched the documentary on Ed Guyne, and just it was horrible. And he had some photographs for the documentary of those photos that were taken at the state crime lab, and it was just horrible. And also, he was like friends with some 16-year-old boy. And who took him to baseball games and everything. And you know the parents had to be absolutely appalled once they found out the boy was hanging it. So, I mean, and also his family. His family home was burned down while he was in jail. And he looked around and said, well, I guess, just as well. What else can we say? Trial was, of course, a freak show. And he had a car, and it was sold to a carnival sideshow operator named Bunny Gibbons. It charged 25 cents for people to be able to see Ed's car. And in that car is where he had hauled body parts. So just not good. So what do you think? Ed's pretty much a badass, and he went through some strange religious persecution there at the hands of his mother, who was obviously pretty crazy. What do y'all think? Any comments about the life and times of Ed Guyne?
It's definitely very crazy. It reminds me of the Norman Bates in Psycho with his mom and everything.
Well,
it does.
I think the book Psycho was based off of his exploits, part of his exploits. The author, I forget the author of Psycho, but whenever he was reading the newspaper articles about Ed Guyne, he wrote the book the following year. And then Hitchcock made it into a movie three years after that.
Yeah, it was a movie, I believe, in Rob, who's our movie expert, wasn't it about 1955, 56?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. And so that would have made perfect sense that he read the newspaper stories. They probably got press on the evening news. He read about them. And then in 57 was the trial, I believe. And so he would have had the thing ready to go. And there comes, here comes Anthony. It was Anthony Hopkins, right?
Yeah.
But was it Vera Miles who played the girl in the shower scene? Or was it? Yeah, it was.
My gosh.
Or was it? Who was it? She was insanely famous.
Janet Leigh.
Yeah. She looked a lot like Vera Miles. I just remember that. And Hitchcock, I believe, didn't he film that scene, the shower scene, over 100 times to get it exactly right? I think that's what I remember from film class.
And the actor was Anthony Perkins that portrayed
Anthony Perkins. Yeah. I was about to say the wrong, I may have said the wrong name, or I might not have, because I might have said Anthony Hopkins. I don't know why. But yeah, it was just a freak show. And I remember my parents said that they actually saw it. They said everybody went to see that film because it was just, it made worldwide news, Ed Gein did. So, I mean, you know, again, kids having a rough time at home and not watching when people start having strange behavior, or maybe he didn't, and so I don't know. But yeah, there are many parallels with Psycho. It was kind of easy to, you know, I figured that out really early on, but it's a shame. Now, does anybody know if there was actually, and I cannot remember, but was there actually a real story that took place prior to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie? Was that based on a story or not? I don't know.
That's partially based on Guy, too, from what I think.
Mm-hmm.
There were three movies, and I can't remember the third one, but I remember those two, and there was a third movie, I think. Maybe Silence of the Lambs, loosely based off of part of it, but I think that was more Hannibal.
That was more cannibalism.
Yeah.
But then again, this is cannibalism. I mean, just, you know how horrible.
I think Buffalo Bill. Okay, I think it's Buffalo Bill. But that character was kind of loosely based off of Guy. That was it.
Now, I'm sorry, I don't know Buffalo Bill as related.
He was in Silence of the Lambs. He was the murderer, the serial killer in Silence of the Lambs.
I can't remember. I just can't remember all the names of everything.
Remember. It puts a lotion on the skin or it gets the hose again. That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Was the movie Saw? Does anybody remember the first movie Saw?
Mm-hmm. Sure do.
Was it based on a real incident? Just the kid being right in front of him inside the safe. Does anybody know about that?
I have no idea on that.
That was just disturbing. That was disturbing beyond bound, and I just couldn't watch the rest of them. I'm sorry. I have a weak stomach when it comes to bad things. Then I probably shouldn't run Comic-Con's, Papa Stro, because sometimes we don't get a big crowd. That tears my stomach up too. But anyway, it's all good.
Forgot the Pepto. And,
yeah,
forgot the Pepto Bismol.
Yeah, I can just put them in a sandwich and eat them. Eat those tablets. Actually, they're pretty good, I think. But maybe I'm as crazy as. No, I'm not as crazy as Ed Gein. Not at all. But it's it really is pretty much a bad scene. And Devin, do you remember now who were the murderers from that were associated with Paradise, Kansas? Do you remember their names? Maybe you do.
Yeah. Roger Gillett and Lisa Jo Chamberlain.
Did they have any type of behavior like this, or did they just commit that one grisly murder of those two, of that couple?
Well, you know, I never met Lisa, so I don't know anything about her. But yeah, Roger was definitely always getting in trouble, always getting in fights, causing problems. You know, he was just a loose cannon.
Yep. Again, just more evidence that you got to watch out for kids and try to take care of them, or we'll have a world full of Eds and Pee-wees and that whole batch of people. So,
yeah.
What else? What other thoughts do you have about Ed? I mean, it's pretty much beyond the pale. Now,
yeah.
And I got to tell you,
He definitely had a mother. He definitely had a mother complex, and I would say he learned the tanning skills from his father. It looks like, you know, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And he wanted to. He made the woman suit to be, I guess, emulate or be his mother. And didn't he have even leggings with that? I mean, he. He had the whole, like the mask and the torso, and I think he even had leggings he could put on and walk around the house.
Great. Well, guys, I'll tell you what. It was either we do Ed Gein or my other choice was, believe it or not, Vladimir the Impaler. We all know Vladimir.
Oh, wow.
Gotcha.
We'll do Vladimir soon. Well, what I can tell you, because I have the book In Search of Dracula, and in the book In Search of Dracula, and you wonder why this guy stuck people on sharp wooden poles and impaled them and would sit and eat in front of that whole mess of murder and mayhem. He was tortured as a kid when he was 14 years old. He was tortured to the brink of death, and that just did him in. He was actually
was
a hero
to him. By the Turks? Was he tortured by people or the Turks?
It was the Turks. In fact, as I looked at the history today of that area, which is west of the Black Sea, that was all part of the Ottoman Empire in Turkey, and they were violent. They were very violent. They had no respect for human life. And you just can't, you know. So he, again, and I'd like for us to do him sometime. I'll get that out. And I'll also get some information from that. It's a great book. My parents bought it for me when I was 12. Came out that long ago. And my father started looking at it and reading it. And he said, "Son, this is pretty grisly for you." I said, "Well, I already finished the book. Don't worry." Otherwise, I don't think he would have taken it away. But that old boy just, he had... There was one story about him, and I have to share this with you. He had let someone hold some gold for him, and so when he came back, when he brought the gold back, he kept it for safety. And so Vladimir counted the gold and came up one coin short. And the man begged him. He said, "Please, let's recount it because it's all there." And he recounted it. And it was all there, and so Vladimir just wanted to kill him. He was going to kill him for lying to him, but they recounted it, and all the gold was there. But they were they were hateful people. And they also, in his castle, what a pleasant thought, whenever he had a bunch of people that he wanted to execute, if he didn't impale them, he had two hungry black bears in the dungeon, and he would make the people take all their clothes off and file in one by one to go in and hang out with the two hungry bears that would kill them. And they would sit there and watch. And just, you know, again, if we think things are bad now, they were really horrible back then. There was just no respect for human life as the Nazis had. And so when he's reading all about the Nazi war atrocities, that's just an invitation for him to want to emulate them. Anyway, so any other good thoughts? I know it's a little bit of a short one tonight, but it's a very horrible thing. And thanks, Tony, for that observation of Ed walking around in the leggings and everything. And and as we reflected upon Psycho and how Psycho was actually written as part as it relates to the stories.
On the two women also, if you'll notice how he butchered them like animals, you know, and it seems to me, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with how they the old farmers would butcher a hog or something. Usually the gun of choice was a .22 between the eyes, and then after that, you know, like with the hogs or maybe not so much cattle, but hogs for sure. And it seems that he obviously had a disconnect with most everyone but his mother. He had an emotional disconnect because who in their right mind could shoot a person and then just nonchalantly hoist them up like a, you know, they were butchering a hog, cut the head off, gut them, and then start skinning them out to make people crafts for his house, you know. That's just absolutely off the charts crazy.
And he loves kids, yes. And had a 16-year-old best friend. Wow.
So, you know, the skinning of the folks, and obviously they were all women. Now, it could be two theories to that. You know, one, he wanted to become his mother, or two, and what could have made it easy for him is his mother had already instilled in him that all women were basically whores or harlots besides her. So in his mind, there was just a whole lot of a jump, you know, to say, well, you know, they're just objects, I guess is what I meant. We treated them as just objects and not human beings.
Yeah. I've never really heard a story like this, and I think it's one of the grisliest stories I've ever done any research on, and so that's why I deferred to one source. I started picking up some other things. I didn't want to mess around with that. It was just getting too bad. And at that point, I had kind of, in a way, I had regretted Ed Gein, and might should have gone with Vladimir the Impaler. He may have killed more people. And they might have been grisly, but it just wasn't quite in the same vein as this. So, I mean, this is... And, you know, it's right up there with Silence of the Lambs, Psycho, and all that. So anyway, do we have any other marvelous revelations or comments we would like to make before we pass on Ed Gein and gear up for Vladimir the Impaler next week?
I think that Ed Gein is a classic psychopath.
He's a classic.
You know, he just admitted to what, two murders and then body snatching
and massive body snatching. But you don't know. We do not know what else he may have done. I mean, I would say, and Devin, again, this reminds me of your lovely story of Paradise, Kentucky. So they go in the barn and they find these two freezers that are running and open them up, and they find a body in each one of them. And I think the people in Ed's little town, well, I'll tell you what happened. I mean, they just burned the house and the barn down. And frankly, I just don't think that they won't find anything else.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I don't think they want to find anything else. It would be better off if it was just gone. So I can't blame them. And somebody and they sold a car. Who's going to be caught with that?
It really makes you wonder what his mother instilled in him for because you know, when his mother passed, it went from bad to worse with this guy. So it's just it makes you wonder
right,
what
that's when he started killing.
You know what I mean?
After his, right, absolutely. And that his mother, she was the catalyst to the whole deal. And whenever she passed, that's when he started. As far as we know, the murders, he may have been doing some of the body snatching before, but it looks like that when she died, that's when he went just bonkers and started collecting all these trophies, so to speak. And didn't he, weren't there some heads found in fairly preserved states with lipstick on them, and they said if you knew them, that you would recognize them? I mean, he was he took the trophy collection to a whole nother level, and either he didn't think he was ever going to be caught, or he didn't care that he was going to be caught, because what the lady that he murdered, the last one, the warden lady, wasn't her son a deputy in the town?
Yeah. Yeah, and he went out they arrested Ed. He was the last one to see her, last name on the receipt, and he arrested him and went out, and they found all this. They were pretty sure it was weird Ed. It was weird psychopathic Ed. And by the way, I've just realized there is another film that is loosely based on the Ed Gein story. And if you remember it, it's one of the most grisly murder films ever. Do we all remember Seven?
Yeah,
and a couple of those, I think every one of those murders, you can see the effect of Ed Gein in every one of them. Especially the last one when he opens the box and sees I believe it was his wife's head. I mean, just how horrible. So, of course, Kevin Spacey was not exactly the world's perfect person. And didn't he end up getting off? Didn't he end up getting off on those charges? Or a lot
know.
Of them?
In the movie, I
think
he
did.
He killed him.
Do what?
In the movie, Brad Pitt kill him in the movie?
No, but I'm talking about in real life. Didn't he get away?
Oh, I don't know.
I think he skated on those charges. Yeah, we have a lot of crazy people out there in the world. And we're just trying to talk about serial killers, but it's a shame. Now, Robin would normally be with us, but she and her husband were out rescuing a dog, and they were about 40 miles from their house when she called up and said she wasn't going to be able to make it, and they rescued a beautiful white husky, and they're taking that husky to safety, and she will tell us about that next week. I said, yes, ma'am, you're on special assignment, and we'll let you go for tonight because she's doing a Good Samaritan's duty. She works with Second Chance Rescue, and last time I was at her house this weekend, there were 9 puppies in 2 kennels out front, and she has 11 dogs and 7 cats, all that she has rescued in her house. They're the best behaved dogs you've ever seen, so you can tell they have a wonderful life, and I've made good friends, especially good friends with 2 of them. So that's great. And Chester, you can probably hear me through my speak. Chester, I hope you're doing well, and Blue, I hope they're both doing well. They can hopefully both hear me. They can do mind speak better than I can, I'll tell you that. So that's kind of what we have, and I'd like to, as Papa Strode taught me in the podcast business, let's go around and let's all have our plug time, see what we're going to plug and everything, and then we will ride off in the sunset and let the spirit of Ed Gein rest. I think that would be a good thing for his spirit to do, wherever he is. So I'm going to go in order, Tony, Devin, and then Papa Strode, and I'll close us out. Tony, what do you have to plug tonight?
I would say wherever Ed Gein is, it would be fairly warm if I was a guessing guy.
Okay.
The only thing I really want to plug, so to speak, is the Manzo Shepherd book will be out probably midsummer. so we can, you know, I'll look for that. I'm also looking to write some true crime books of what's happened here, some of the things we talked about happening here in Harlan County. So those will probably be out another one in 2021. So those are the only things that I have.
Well, that's a great one to plug, and I'll tell you what, when Manzo comes out, let me know about a month in advance, and we'll plan a big spectacular on that. Might get you down here to Myrtle Beach, or we'll get you down to Charleston and do something about that, because I think that'd be wonderful. I've got a great comic book shop that I work with in Charleston now, and we'll see if we can't get you down there, because he can draw a crowd. We'd love to have you there, get some books, let people get their signed copies and everything, get to meet the man behind Manzo Shepherd. That's a frightening story, and it's one that needs to be told. And I know that when Devin's album and song came out, we did a pretty good spectacular. I think we had over 200 people actually download it. And so, Devin, you remember that from it was last. Last Valentine's, we had Jen Cruz of the She Squatchers. We had you, and we played your new video. We played Papa Stroh's video. I mean, it was a grand time. And Tony, we'll do that for you. I've got my Lizard Man book coming out. I'm trying to figure out. I'll do that in the plugs. Yeah, we'll definitely do a special for you, and really get that thing going. So thanks a lot, and have a good week until we see you. Thursday night on Scary Cat. New time, 11 o'clock, so that I don't have to dip on Papa Stroh's WCW Retro, which has become my favorite podcast, Papa Stroh. I want you to know that. I love that. I love
no,
that
thank
show.
You.
No, I do. And your crew, the crew is too good now. It's just too good. So we're moving ScaryCast to 11 Eastern, 7, 6, 10, 9, 8, and 8 o'clock Pacific. So that's going to happen this Thursday night, so that I'm not dipping at 10:20 anymore. Not going to do it. All right. So thank you again. Thank you, Tony. Devin Tate, what you got to plug?
Yeah. Well, hey, Tony. Congrats. That's awesome that your book's coming out. I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you.
I don't have much to plug because everything has been canceled, but I probably will be doing some type of a Facebook Live. Show coming up here in the next few weeks. So I will let you know about that. And in the meantime, you can always find my music at my website, devintate.com.
That is great. Devin, if you would text me those two pieces of information, I want to get them up on all the podcasts that says, you know, you're going to do a Facebook Live and where to go check your music out. I want to put that throughout the whole network that we've got so that people will we'll go check it out, okay?
All right. That sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, and also I can just grab any recent picture from your Facebook page, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, we will do that. I will do that right after this show, because as I told everybody, I couldn't find my phone, and I was trying to and I wanted to get Papa Stroh's picture up as one of the co-hosts, so that will happen the minute that this show is over, and then I will also put up about Devin. So Papa Stroh, to the man that hosts and has created my favorite podcast to listen to, WCW Retro, what you got to plug tonight?
Well, congratulations, Tony, new book. It's really awesome.
Thank you so much.
Looking forward to check it out for sure. For all the ladies in TV, wrestling, film, and merchandise, go to my official website at thestro.com, thestro.com. Tomorrow night I'll be on the In the Room podcast with Brady Hicks, Cat Fitzpatrick, Matt Graham, Derek McDonald, myself, tomorrow night at 9 on thestro.com. Thursday night, as Dr. John mentioned, WCW Retro at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on thestro.com. And currently, the Dust series, which stars the Chief in, is now on the Veil TV, which is syndicated through Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire TV, and you can watch respectively. And so far, there's been 3 seasons, and we'll be on set this summer for season 4. And I have another upcoming film, Harlequin film, if you will, called The Devil's Daughter, which I'll be portraying Dr. Jeremy Arkham in the film, and you can check out their Facebook at facebook.com/realdoubledaughter.
Awesome. I'm going to write that down, and I'm going to put that up.
Yeah, send the links whenever the show. I just went over to the WCW Retro site and liked the page, man. It's, I love stuff like that. Just send out the links, and I'll share them on my end. Because I love this stuff, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we talk about a lot of nostalgia, like wrestling nostalgia, like the good old days, et cetera.
Absolutely. I mean, that's some of my favorite stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the only place I can hear about Dusty Rhodes. I mean, you know, absolutely.
Tell
one of my favorite
Dusty Rhodes stories, Papa Stro.
Yes, would you
about,
please?
We love hearing about Dusty Rhodes.
Oh,
we
Dusty Rhodes.
Murder 1-2-3, man. We love that. You know, we love.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Let's see. I was hanging out with Nelson Royal in Charlotte, right? He was one of the guys that, you know, brought me to visit him, the Andersons, Ivan Koloff, and he's got a big ranch out there in Mooresville, outside of Charlotte. And he took me to the stable where they shot the video where Dusty and him and Baby Doll were hanging out, right? When Dusty won the services of Baby Doll for 30 days, right? And they took me to the field with the horses where they shot the angle where Baby Doll took off, left Dusty, right? And then after he left Dusty, I mean, she literally got one of the horses and took off, basically. And it showed him later night in that campfire, and Dusty sitting next to Nelson Royal talking to him. I can't believe it, baby. Baby Doll ran off like a Jezebel late evening, if you will, took my credit card, went back in that no good snake in the grass, Tully Blanchard, baby. So wrong, Daddy. So wrong. Oh, my gosh.
Papa
Stroh,
we have got to get you to do a 3 to 5 minute run of Dusty Rhodes stories, especially like the one you told with Diane Pope of the Tams last night. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cuckoo story.
Can
you lay that one on? I don't think Murder 1-2-3 people have ever heard the cuckoo story.
Oh my
you
god.
Okay, with
okay.
That?
This one, yeah, this is one I'm involved in actually. I was doing a show with Dusty Rhodes, Roddy Piper, Cowboy Bob Orton Jr. A lot of names you probably can remember. And one of the wrestlers was late getting to the town. And so I got together with my other wrestling buddies, and they persuaded me to give him a call on using Dusty Rhodes' voice, right? So I call him up. And, you know, he answers the phone and says, brother, where you been? You holding up progress. You're late to the town. We can't stop without you. What you doing, baby? And he's like, I'm sorry, Dusty. I'm going fast as I can. My flight was late. I'm hauling butt down the road. I'll get there as quick as I can. I swear. I promise, right? Well, get up here right now. I'll give you a spanking, baby. Get your butt up here. And hang up the phone, right? And we're like dying, you know, laughing. And he gets to the building, right? He's like running, sprinting across the locker room, flies by us. And we're trying to keep our composure. Goes straight to Dusty, right? On his knees, grabbing Dusty's legs. I'm sorry, Dusty. Please forgive me. I'm sorry for being late. I'm so sorry. And Dusty's looking down at him. We're all just dying, you know. And Dusty's looking down at him, shaking his head, going, what the hell wrong with you? You acting cuckoo, baby. Then he realized it was a big rib joke, and he got so embarrassed he went in the bathroom and wouldn't come out the rest of the night. Oh, it was great.
You know, Dusty could say the least amount and get the most out of it, couldn't he, Papa Stroh?
Absolutely.
Cuckoo. He commanded all the respect in the world, didn't he?
Oh, his charisma was off the charts, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to, on WCW Retro this Thursday night, I'm going to include Dusty in my old school match of the week. You can be sure of that one. I love that match.
I can't wait. I still can't wait.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I think I did it maybe 3 years ago, but it's worth a repeat, don't you think, Papa Stroh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can never get guitar Dusty, man. Dusty's awesome.
I know. I'll probably ask you to do us a Dusty story when I finish with that. But anyway, that's great. And I guess my plug of the week is, I don't exactly have one right now because all of my events have been postponed. I think my first event, my first Comic-Con, is the Horry County Comic-Con, and that is going to be the second weekend in June. I believe we'll know next week if that's a good date, Papa Stro, since you are the star of the event. I'm sorry I haven't been able to give you an exactly firm date, but we want to just check out the weather and the temperature with the coronavirus and everything. And the minute we're certain of that date, I will let you know, and we'll plaster that all over, because I want everybody to come down to Myrtle Beach and see Papa Stro and hang out with us, and Sonia Thompson and Kevin Holland and Royce Beggs from The Walking Dead. I mean, it's just going to be – you cannot get a better Comic-Con lineup than Papa Stro and three of my friends from The Walking Dead. You just can't get a better lineup for Comic-Con. And, of course, everybody's invited. Devin, if you want to fly out. Tony, if you want to ride down, we'll give you some top billing there too. And we'll probably, because Robin will be there, we are definitely going to do a live Murder 1-2-3. I got to get somebody very interesting for that crowd here in Myrtle Beach. So Papa Stro, just know that whenever we have it, we'll be doing a Murder 1-2-3. And of course, since you're now a panelist, we will want you to be there too. So anyway, all I've got to do is say, stay safe. Don't do anything wrong. Minimize going out. And I'm very fortunate. I only know of two people who've had coronavirus. I guess here in South Carolina, we seem to be a little bit isolated. And when I look at that map, Devin, it does look like California doesn't have the sheer saturation that a New York or a Chicago or a South Florida does. Have you noticed that? It doesn't seem to be quite as saturated in L.A.
Yeah, not yet, but it's doubling, right now, from what I heard.
All right,
pretty much every day.
We'll think all the good thoughts that we can, and please stay safe. And I will ask this as a general blanket request to all of our panelists tonight: shoot me a text message, and I want to put all of the things that we've got coming up onto our page. Tony, your book, Papa Stro, whatever you've got coming up, and Devin, mention about your Facebook Live thing, and I will also talk about the Tams book, which Papa Stro and I interviewed Diane Pope, the wife of singer Charles Pope of the Tams. That book, co-authored by Diane, myself, and Pat Gwynn, he's actually the worldwide radio host of a beach music show that's now on three continents. And we had Pat Gwynn on a long, long time ago. I will bring him on because he does have some info on my favorite murder, which is, well, I call it a murder, which is, oh my goodness, I've just lost it, Anna Nicole Smith. Yeah, so we've done an Anna Nicole. We'll just do another one. Papa Stro, are you okay with another Anna Nicole?
Ah, the gift that keeps on giving. Okay.
It is, but you see, Pat Gwynn knew some of the people that she was associated with up in Myrtle Beach, and it was like maybe 3 years ago I had him on a show. In fact, I think you were on the show too, but I'm going to go re-listen to it, and I'll have additional questions to ask him. And if any of you, my esteemed panel, and any listeners, if you've got someone you want us to feature, shoot us a message on Facebook at Murder123 Podcast, because Facebook would not let me do Murder123. So please just shoot us a message if you got someone you want us to talk about. Next week I'm going to do some research. Robin will be back with us, and we will be talking about Vladimir the Impaler. So until next week, stay safe in all the calamity and things that are going on. I love you, panel. You guys are the best. I will get our website updated now that I found my phone and our show is over for the week. I'll have the website updated, and Papa Stro will be up there. And I look forward to putting up all the news. We got a pretty newsworthy bunch of people now. I'm going to tell you that. So thanks a lot. Have a good one. And Papa Stro, I will see you on my favorite podcast, which is WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Thursday on VOC Nation. Is that right?
Awesome. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, you guys be good. Take care, and we will see you very, very soon. If I can figure it out.
All right.
Oh, there it is. All right, you too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.